Parsha Vayishlach begins, then Yaakov sent angels ahead of him to Esav, his brother, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. He charged them, saying, "Thus shall you say to my lord, to Esav, so said your servant Yaakov, I have sojourned with Lavan, and I have lingered until now. I have acquired oxen, posuk vav, and donkeys, flocks, servants, and maidservants. I am sending to tell my lord to find favor in your eyes." The angels returned to Yaakov, saying, "We came to your brother, to Esav. Moreover, he is heading towards you, and 400 men are with him." We've spoken in the past about the idea of sending malachim, the ideas of living with Lavan, and Lavan garti, and Taryag mitzvah shamarti. I'd like to focus in on this idea of what Yaakov actually said to, or sent to say to Esav, after he said, "I sojourned with Lavan." And he says, "I have acquired oxen and donkeys, flock servants and maidservants, that I'm sending to tell my lord to find favor in your eyes." If we take a look at the Hebrew in 1b, English always, when it translates, often explains, "Vahi li shor v'chamor." It's written in the singular. Shor is an ox. Chamor is a donkey. Tzon, sheep. Ve'eved, singular. Servant. V'shivcha, singular. "And I have sent to tell my master to find favor in his eyes." And indeed, the English translation of our scroll is really based on Rashi. In the bracket, Rashi tells us that Derech Eretz Lomar Shirim Harbei Shor. Yes, it means many oxen, but oftentimes when you have the plural, we call it like the royal we. It's really written in the singular. So that's why, obviously, he doesn't say, "I have one ox and I have one donkey." I mean, that's, why would he say something like that? It's ludicrous. But rather, it's written in the singular, obviously, the implication being, "I've acquired oxen and donkey." Nevertheless, our question still needs to be asked of A, why is he saying this in the singular? And B, why is he emphasizing specifically the shur and the chamor, the ox and the donkey, when he also sent camels, and we don't even have mention of the camels? What is it about the shur and the chamor that this is what, and the tzon, that this is what he's emphasizing? That's question one. Question two is, we need to understand when Rashi says, what is the agenda that he's telling him this? So Rashi tells us, again back in source 2, "Abba amar li mital shamayim mishvanei aretz." I know Yaakov saying to Esav that you're upset at me that I took the blessings. But look, I got my father Yitzhak Avinu told me I will have for the dew of the heavens and for the fat of the land. But you see, the blessings haven't come true. I don't have either from the dew of the heaven or the fat of the land. I have animals which are in neither category, and therefore the brachos haven't come true. So therefore you don't have to worry. What is Yaakov trying to convey by saying something like this? We need to understand this further. And we'll begin with our final question. This is where we'll begin our study. And that is the question that Rav Pinto notes in Tarat Yoshiyahu in source number 3. He says, "Lo yuman ki yisupar, amnamu mshager lo matanot." I understand that Yaakov Avinu is sending him a lot of gifts, but why is he telling him, like in his face, "Look, I have oxen, I have sheep, I have donkeys"? It's like he's, you know, telling him, "Look how rich I am." Is that going to make Esav feel any better? Like, what is it that he thinks that he can achieve by trying to try to emphasize his riches? To which the Noam Elimelech gives a very fascinating answer, and I'd just like to mention this and then we'll begin our study, because it shows you the depth of human psyche and something for at least us to be aware of and attentive to, because I think most of us, if not all of us, fall into this trap. And he quotes the Noam Elimelech from Elimelech of Lejin Satzal, who says the following. He says in source 4, "Kayemet ba'olam klipa kasheh ha'goremet la'adam la'shpil v'kofef et atzmo b'fnei asherim u'bal hon." People like to show themselves and to appear before people who are rich. Those are the people they like to rub shoulders with, so to speak. And he says you're walking down the street and you see a poor person who needs help, and then you see a rich person. Whom are you more likely to go over and to start talking to and to start having a relationship with? And you don't know this rich person. Obviously, it's going to be the rich person, not the poor person. Even though by not going to the poor person, you're going to have a name of being a kamsan, of being a stimpy person. You don't care. You want to be associated with people who are rich. Now we can understand a little bit the psyche of Yaakov Avinu when he sends this great present. What he's basically saying is, I'm about to meet my brother Esav, and I know Esav hates me. How am I going to have him at least listen to me? How am I going to at least have him pay a bit of attention to me? If I come in as a poor schlepper, he's going to just ignore me. But if I can show that I have some wealth and I have some stature, then I'm going to find favor in his eyes. And that's why he emphasizes this. Vel shachala gila doni. I'm telling him all this because I know that when a person hears someone else is wealthy, then they're interested in having a relationship with them and being with them. And this is the mindset that Yaakov Avinu understands. He wants to get across a message to Esav. And he knows that if he's going to try to get this message across and come as a poor beggar, Esav's not even going to listen. If he's going to come as an equal, as a wealthy person, then Esav is going to give him more credence. And I think we have to just be aware of this before moving on, that we tend to fall into this trap, that if somebody of importance and somebody of wealth needs our help, and somebody who doesn't have that stature wants our help, who do we, almost even without even realizing it, who would we tend to go and help when we have equal time and equal ability? And it's a din v'cheshbon. It's an accounting that we have to do. That are we judging people by the externals and not by who really has the greater need, and where can I fill that greater need to the best of my ability, and to really be objective about that. And we'll leave that as an ancillary idea, but nonetheless a very important one. What is this Shur and Chamor about? What are the animal allusions that we can learn from? And again, the goal of this year, more than all the information in Mirtz Hashem and all the learning and all the growing that we're going to do, is again to emphasize how every single word in Chumash is miniyam. It's the depth of the sea, and it's boundless. And we can't just focus in on like the classic moments, like Yaakov Avinu wrestling with the angel, that this is the time we're going to focus it on. Every single word, including, I have, Vayhi li shor v'chamor, I have an ox and a sheep, is telling us worlds and worlds of depth. And the Shem Shmuel, we're just going to do one idea of the Shem Shmuel, that's pages upon pages on just this phrase. And we have to realize that it behooves us, as we grow older and as we grow deeper, to learn with this amkus, with this depth, and not to take anything for granted. The structure that we're going to use in Yirtzeh Hashem today, a little bit complicated, but a lot of very insightful, I was going to say a lot of fun too, is later on in our parsha, after Yaakov Avinu has this encounter with Esav, source 5, the pasuk tells us, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem, Yaakov comes with wholeness, with perfection, to the city of Shechem, which is in Eretz Canaan, Vayichad Pnei Ha'ir, and he camps by the front of the city. Rashi asks, Chazal asks, what does it mean, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem? What does it mean he came whole? So Rashi brings that he came intact in three different areas. Bigufo, physically, because he was wounded in the struggle. Bimamono, in his wealth, he didn't lose any money by giving the gift to Esav. Ubisaraso, and in his learning, and in his being in Lavan's house, and that detracting anything from his Lima Torah. These three aspects that he was shalem in really reflects that famous Maharalian threesome, which is Bigufo, it's Ben Adam La'ato, between man and himself. Mamono is commerce, is between Ben Adam L'chaveiro, man and his fellow man. Ubusaraso, and his Torah is between man and God. We are going to Mirtz Hashem look at the level of Shor and Chamor that Yaakov Avinu is first and foremost really speaking to himself. He's having a self-assessment. And we're going to look at the self-assessment of Yaakov when he makes his statement on three levels. We're going to look at it, how he's talking about how it affects Begufo, Bimamono, and Bisarasa. We're going to see that on three levels. Then we're going to take a look as if Yaakov Avinu is Ben Adam L'Makom talking to God, and we're going to see that on those three levels. And then we're going to end with Yaakov Avinu actually talking to Esav and how it reflects the Shlemus that we're speaking about. So it's really this idea of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Ben Adam L'Atzmo, Ben Adam L'Makom, and in these three dimensions, what Yaakov Avinu is trying to convey, and Begufo, Bimamono, and Bisaroso in each and every dimension. Okay, let's begin. Siach Yaakov, of Yaakov Blau, points out in source number 6 the following. Yaakov Avinu, albeit, is talking to Esav, but as we mentioned, this is really a self-reflection. It's as if Yaakov is taking stock of his sojourn by Lavan's house, right? In Lavan Garti, Vechara Ad Ata, I lived in Lavan's house, and I, you know, was there until now. And this pasuk as well is a bit of reflection of what happened during these 22 years. And he says to his brothers, first and foremost, source 6, She'ein lo kol siba lisno oto mechamana brachot shekibel maviv. There's no reason to hate him for the brachos that he got. And that's why he refers to himself as Avdecha Yaakov, I am your servant, to say to him that you are the master and I am the servant. And if you say to yourself, well, that's what, only because Yitzchak Avinu said that when Yaakov doesn't keep Torah, then Esav's going to have the upper hand. So Yaakov Avinu said, no, I want you to know, I was living in Lavan's house, in Lavan Garti, famous Chazal, the Taryak Mitzvot Shamarti, I kept the Taryak Mitzvot. It wasn't a function of me not being on the level of learning Torah, and hence you had the upper hand. No, I was learning Torah, and yet the brachos didn't come true. And you are still the master, and I am still the servant. The brachos didn't come true. Now, he says, Uvda nosefer mochicha shelo zachah birkatos shel aviv. And the further proof that he did, right, the first is, I kept the Torah mitzvos, and I had the upper hand, and brachos didn't come true. And second, as we mentioned by Rashi, I have shor and chamor, son, eva v'shivcha, but these are not from the Tal Shamayim, or from Mishvanei Aretz, it's not from the heaven or the dews of the earth. So you see clearly the brachos didn't come true to me. So the question we have to ask ourselves on this, I understand Yaakov Avinu is pleading a case that the brachos didn't come true, but we have to ask ourselves in Source 7, V'tzarich l'aviv v'chi Yaakov Avinu asach hafel shalom leitzanus b'brachosav shal aviv yitzchaka b'ne Esav? Is he trying to make light of the brachos? See, they didn't come true. You think the brachos were such a big deal? Nah, they didn't even come true. How could Yaakov Avinu speak this way about the brachos? And 8, Elu tzarich lomar shachen abrachon adayin lo chalu al Yaakov. No, we have to explain the following. Yaakov Avinu knew full well that the brachos were going to come true. But he understood that the ikar kayumam yiyah ba'achris hayamim. When will the brachos ultimately come true? Only in the future time. V'zeguf hayta kavana b'mashe shalach lodiya le'esav dalecha. This is really what he's saying to Esav. You don't have a need to hate me because the brachos aren't about the here and now. The brachos are about the future. And in the here and now, you have the upper hand than I do. Then we have to ask ourselves, well, hold on a second. Not only did Yaakov Avinu not have the brachos right now, but in fact, if anything, he had more troubles than before he got the brachos. Sharekishi nitzbonein niran source 9 shemolta eichi Yaakov kibel tabrachot maviv Yitzchak hechilu kol tzarot lizbrachei shatzo Yaakov. Boom! As soon as he got the brachos, one after the other, Esav hated him, and he had to hide in Shiva Shem every 14 years. And then he had the problems of Lavan. And then he comes back and he has the problems with Dina. And then he has the problems with Yosef. And then he has the problems. One after the other. So, we have to understand that. Hold on a second. I understand that the brachos may be referring to the future time. But when you give somebody a bracha, and just the opposite happens, their life turns upside down in more of a klolo than a bracha, so then you do want to ask yourself, like, was there any power in this bracha? Maybe it was more of a klolo than a bracha, more of a curse than a blessing. So, He gives here a very important yesod, and this will be idea number two for today. He says, Elo tzarich lomar, after this squiggly line in source 9, K'moshe nitbayar, Shemachar v'kiyumam shel habrachot yerak b'achritz hayamim, because the blessings are really going to be active in the time of the future. Im kach lo hayu stira l'tzarot shiru Yaakov b'otah ha'et. It's not a contradiction with the challenges he has now. And he notes in the arrow that the last line that Yaakov gave, that Yaakov was given in the bracha, was, Orarecha arur umevarecha baruch. Those who curse you are cursed, and those who bless you are blessed. Which is the opposite of Bilam. And Siach Yaakov then goes on to explain something very important. He says, by Rishayim, by wicked people, in the beginning things are easy, and then things get tough. Rishayim tchilosam shalva v'sofan yisuri. And by Tzadikim, it's the exact opposite. We have to understand that in order for a person to have the blessings come upon them, they have to be a kli kibul. They have to be able to receive these blessings. And the only way we can receive these blessings is if we are bar bracha. We're worthy of receiving blessings. So what was the purpose of the Yisurim? What are the purposes of the challenges that came upon Yaakov Avinu? Very clearly, they are the means of refinement to perfect him, and ultimately the challenges that befall all of Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish history is a kur habarzel. It's a refinement process in order to make us worthy as individuals and as a nation to receive the blessings of God. Hence you find that by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zot HaBracha Sheberach Moshe, Isha Elokim, this is the blessing. First he gives Musar, and then he blesses. Because you can't have one without the other. Just to give someone a blessing without having them work on themselves, without having them being able to receive the blessing is not a blessing. There's nothing to rely on. There's nothing to hold on to. And therefore, my friends, this is the message. V'lefize katuv kan yisod gadol. Yitzhak Avinu in 12 Omer LeYaakov. V'rachot rabot yachulo roshecha. There are going to be many blessings upon your head. Aval ikar ki umam yalasi vlovo. They're going to be in the future. Rak yishnai kodem l'chalot ha-bracha. But there's one prerequisite before you get the brachos, and that is, in order for there to be a kiyum habrachos, sarich lavur lifnechei menat yisareem, you're going to go through challenges and difficulties. Shehi kli hakli kibul lebrachos, ach lebasof yachulu habrachos, in the end, the brachos will come. And you know, my friends, Rav Wolbe and Ali Shur Chelet Beis notes that this is how we understand, based on the Maral, the Gemara brachos. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said there were three great gifts that Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael, and all of them are given lo natanam elai dei surim, through challenges: Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. And the Maharal here points out in the squiggly in 13, it's not necessarily challenges that are painful, but it's challenges that bring us litalot alachumriot, to raise ourselves above the physicality. These are matanos tovos. These are beautiful gifts that Hashem wants to give us. We, who are krutzei chomer, we are physical people. V'niye ruyim l'materot elu rak aydei musar ha-maleh otanu ma-machurmiyut u-mekarvanu l'kdusha. We can only have these gifts if we have something that's going to bring us into levels of holiness. And this is why he mentioned that in the Beit HaMusar of Kel was one word written in its doorway. Chakukal Ashar, that was engraved on the doorway. And you would think the word would be Musar, the word would be, I don't know, the word was Tahara, purity. And this is what we daven for on Shabbos, on Yantiv. V'taher libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. In order to really serve God in truth, in order for us to live a life which is a Torah true life, we need Tahara, we need purity. We need to raise ourselves up above the physicality, above our drives, above our temptations and inclinations. When we purify ourselves, and the purity often comes with having to resist the temptation, having to break our desires. It involves challenges. It involves difficulty. But that's what makes us great. And this explains Rosve, Zatzal, and Ruach Eliyahu in 15, that when Yaakov Avinu, at the end of last week's parasha, describes how he lived as a shepherd in Lavan's house, he says, Hayiti bayom achal nichore v'kerach balayla v'teidat shnatayim einai. There was no day or night. He was freezing. He was up all the time. He was in a terrible state. So Chazal asked in the Medrash a very interesting question. Ma haya omer? What did he say during this time? What do you mean, what did he say? So Rav Svei Zatzal explains Chazal's question, the Medrash question. When you are going through physical deprivation, cold, no sleep, right? This was working on himself on a very, you know, base level. What did he say at that time? Right? What does a mother say who has to get up for 20 years every night for a different child? What does she say when she doesn't get a good night's sleep? You know what Yaakov Avinu said? I'm not sure you can compare the two, but it's that idea. You know what he said or what we should say? It's a machloket in the Medrash. One said he said the 15 kapitel Shir HaMaalos. One person says, one day I is, he said the entire Tehillim. What's Pshat? Who hirgish mevushar, he felt ashrei. How fortunate I am that I have these nisyonos, because it's these nisyonos that help me reach where I need to be. All of us go through challenges in life. There are physical challenges, emotional challenges. What should our reaction be? This is what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us. Ashrei Shir HaMaalos. Thank you, Hashem. I know that these are the challenges that are going to make me me. This is what's going to break the chumrios, the physicality in me. The tahir libeinu lov v'chabemet. It's being able to take these challenges and understanding them in the correct light. It's being able to grow from these challenges. When we talk about sholem begufo, Yaakov Avinu here, by saying, I have a shor and chamor, what he's saying is, based on Rashi, I didn't get mital shemayim mishmanei aretz. All I have is a shor and chamor. You know what that means? It means the brachos haven't come true. And instead of the brachos coming true, I've struggled. I physically have been, you know, challenged. But I've come out whole. Because I understand that these challenges are good for me. Shalem begufo, Shir HaMaalos, thank you Hashem for putting me through this. Because I'm a greater person as a result. And indeed, we see in 16 that Esav recognizes this argument. And we find him saying, Achi, Yelecha, Shir Lecha, Moldani Lecha, Lebrochos, Mevaterani, Lebrochos, Besugzeh. That Esav Takav buys into this argument and says, you know, the brachos should be yours, because he understands the brachos are not about the here and now, they're the future. Tmurat minat dinzira deshim, the end of 16, for a bowl of lentils, he sells his bechora. For a couple of camels and sheep, he sells the brachos. For some amount of money, he sells his portion of Marsa Machpelah. That's Esav. And that brings us, if we could just add one nakuta here, one idea before moving on, because it's such a fantastic insight into what challenges are all about, into our mindset is all about, and into the real dichotomy between a Yaakov and an Esav. Rav Mizrahi in Birkas Mordechai points out, he says this is the quintessential difference between Esav and Yaakov. Esav is the Olam Hazeh. It's this world, the chitzonios, how things look, the star of the chashuv, as we began with the Noam Elimelech. He'll be taken by another rich person. He's very into the external world. He damnit kapei chutz, how do people look, how do they appear? And something else that Esav is into in the asterisk in 17, ha'achshav, the today, right, michrak hayom b'chart chali, the hayom, the today, michosheva mashiyeh batid, who really is thinking about the future? Koma shemanyenu anireh leinav, anireh achshav, what matters is the way it appears now, how it looks. And that's why Esav is very interested in himself, And he notes that the ideology of Esav and the nations isn't really about building one's children for an ideological future. Of course, you take care of your children so that they should be self-sufficient and enjoy this world, right? You start your college fund when the child is born. They get into a good college so that they can get a good job, so they can enjoy more of the pleasures of this world. And the cycle continues. He says, when you look at the ideological battles that Esav has, whether it's the Masa Slav, which is the Crusades, or the missionaries, they're about war. They're about blood. They're really not about, you know, an ideological battle. They catch it that way so that they can, you know, go out and, you know, booty and take what they want. It's more about themselves. Well, Yaakov Avinu, the Echpatiyut, is about the future. Ad l'tipat chayav achrona, the asterisk in 18, until the very last drop of blood, they're going to worry about their children. What do we bench licht? What do we save? It's akeni legadol banim uvnei banim oskim b'Torah. I'm not only concerned about my children learning Torah, I'm concerned about bnei banim, my grandchildren learning Torah. That's the ideology of a Yaakov. I'm not only looking at the here and now, I'm looking in the future. As I've made mention, and this made such an impression, I mean, it happened close to 30 years ago when I was teaching an 8th grade class. And a mother was debating between sending to two schools. One was more of a Beis Yaakov type school, one was a bit more modern school. And she was saying to me, and it made such an impression, she said, I'm not worried about my daughter. We come from a good home. My daughter will do okay. I'm worried about where my daughter is going to send her children to school, and I know this decision is going to impact on that decision. That's the way a Jewish parent thinks. I'm not only thinking about my child, I'm thinking about my grandchild, my great-grandchild, and this is the Masorah. This is a tradition that we're dealing with for generation upon generation. And this was the argument between Yaakov and Esav. Esav is, if the blessings are for the here and now, I want them. The blessings are for the future. Who can think about the future? Who cares about the future? It's the here and now. And on both sides, we have to make sure that we don't fall into an Esav mentality. And that we have to have our priorities in check. A simple example of this is the exorbitant amount of money for tuition for our children. So we know that if we really want to invest in our children and on our chinuch of our children, we'll pay that money even if it means at the expense of not going on a vacation or not redoing our kitchen. But I'm not going to ask for a tuition break. I'm going to, if I'm able to, again, depending on where you're at, I'm going to spend the money where I know it belongs. I'm going to teach a lesson to my children. It's not about me having my desires met, you know, to the nth degree. It's about investing in you because you are the future, and your future is the future of our family and of Klal Yisrael, and we have our priorities correctly in order. So when we talk about Sholim Begufo, that he was whole in his body, what we are saying is at times we go through, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it is, challenges in our lives in order for our children to be able to be successful. And we make those sacrifices. And we make those sacrifices with simcha, with joy, because we have our priorities in order. It's not about my pleasure and enjoyment at every single moment. That's my focus. That's an Esav mentality. Of course you can enjoy this world. No one's telling you not to. But I have the priority in order. And I know that it's okay to struggle. And I know it's okay to sacrifice. Because I have the vision that Yaakov Avinu has. Ishli Shor V'chamor. I have the future vision in check. That's idea number one. Physical challenges are seen in perspective. The sacrifice is well worth it. That's how we grow. That's how we become better people. He was also shalom in the two other areas as well. The next area that we're going to speak about is shalom in terms of his ben Adam l'makom b'tarasa. Here, Ruach Eliyahu quotes a very famous Rashi Chachma, quite a number of Mefarshim quote it. He says, why doesn't he mention the gemalim, the camels? And he notes in Source 20, Ha'emes he, the truth is, Kelokim asat Adam yashar v'hem b'kshu cheshbonos rabim, that Hashem created us straight, and we are the ones who created all these perversions and all these ideologies. And that means we know that B'tchilot Yetzirat Adam, originally Hashem created us, He created us with a world where we should be drawn after good, and evil was something that was outside. And we were sosim esmechim l'savrit som kolnam, we were thrilled to do the will of God. And after we ate of the tree, nitarvu atova rabo batzmo v'nasachelik mimenu, the good and evil became part and parcel of him and became intermingled. What did the avos do? What were the forefathers, the mother's job? It was in order to separate the good from the evil, to be able to have a world where we know intrinsically, and that's what the Rambam says, that a forced divorce bill is no good, but yet we can, you know, beat somebody up to give them a divorce. It's forced? No, because every Jew really wants to do Ratzon Hashem. That is what Ki be'etzem tiv'i hineni noten l'tov, that our nature is to do good. Yaakov Avinu, who is the Bechir Avos, the highest of the Avos, understood so clearly the difference between good and evil. We have it within us. We know it's deep down. What's good? It's hard for us to draw it out. Yaakov Avinu had this clarity. And therefore, he says in the asterisks in 20, I want to tell you about my sojourn by Lavan's house. I was able to live a life of shor and chamor. Shor is an example of a kosher animal. Chamor is an example of a non-kosher animal. That I was able to make this distinction. I know what is right and what is wrong. He doesn't bring a gamal, because a gamal, like a chazir, which Esav is compared to, has one of the two sides and not both sides. That's the mixture of the living of the life of both together. He specifically doesn't bring that to say to Esav, I'm not living a life that's intermingled of the good and evil, I'm living a life of clarity. I went to Lavan's house and I wasn't affected. I know the good from the bad. And really, my friends, that's our challenge, to make that distinction between good and evil and to live it. Rav Freifeld, Rav Freifeld speaks, has a fantastic definition, obviously easier said than done, about good and evil. He says in 21, most of us have a primitive concept of good and evil. We think about moral and ethical values, about crime and punishment, but we do not really understand what defines good and what defines evil. Without this knowledge, we're blind creatures groping in the dark. You could live in a mansion, have a garage full of expensive automobiles and a staff of servants, and yet would be an invalid, lost and helpless, if you do not have a genuine insight into good and evil. The essential insight of the Mishnah that the Almighty created the world with 10 divine utterances is that there's a system and an order in the universe. Evil is any act or word or deed that disrupts the symmetry of creation, that creates chaos in the place of order. This is the nature of evil. It's a destructive force that tears down the Almighty's creation. Good, on the other hand, is that which is consistent with the order of creation, that which flows in harmony with the symmetry of the cosmos, that supports, preserves, and enhances the raw material of the Almighty's creation. The purpose of a person in this world is to avoid chaos, both in the spiritual and material realm, and to pursue symmetry and achdus, unity. The most salient feature of the entire cosmos is its outstanding symmetry, the incredible precision of the universe. But the symmetry in 22 does not stop with physics and aesthetics. The Torah tells us the self-same symmetry extends into the realms of our relationship with each other and our relationship with the world. The way we live, the way we act, the way we talk has to be consistent with the symmetry of the universe. And the lexicon of the Torah personal character is called mitos, which literally means measurements. Character is a function of the underlying order of the Torah, of the symmetry of creation. And that's what we have to understand. That when we look at the world of good and evil, we're really looking at, is it a world of symmetry and order, or is it a world of chaos? When I say something that's not nice to somebody, I've created chaos in this person's life, in my life, and in the world. When I build somebody up, I've created symmetry in all of those areas. And that's what it's about. Ask yourself before you do any act, am I about to create chaos or more symmetry? There was a famous yeshiva in the Lithuanian town of Kelm, 23. Mashgiach of the yeshiva once came into the cloakroom during a heavy winter storm and noticed that the galoshes were strewn haphazardly on the floor. He burst into tears, ran to the Beis Medrash to address the Talmidim. How could they aspire to high levels of achievement, he complained, if they just tossed their galoshes in any which ways? If they have no sense of order in regard to the person or article, could they have a sense of order in their minds? their hearts, their souls? Could they be sensitive to the overriding symmetry of the cosmos in all its myriad aspects? That's a question to ask ourselves. And that's how he says to become a bigger person at 24 is to be careful about, he's talking to Yeshiva boys, making noise in the dormitory. How can you become bigger if you leave sperm lying around and expect someone else to collect them? How can you become bigger if you don't leave the kitchen and dining room spotless behind when you're finished? This is what it's about. Order versus chaos. But you know what, my friends? It's even deeper than that. Esav was hoping all of this time that Yaakov Avinu would fall into that mixture of good and evil together. He really hoped that Lavan, who was a Mashpia Gadol B'Kshafim V'Shar Sugei Ashpoz, who was into black magic and witchcraft, would be able to influence him. And that's why he says, Amar Lo Yaakov in 26, Im Lavan Garti V'Achar Adata, I was with Lavan for 22 years, but you know what, for 20 years he didn't make any impression on me. I'm the same Yaakov that left my father's house. And here Rabbi Fried in print brings the idea we've mentioned before, that Rav Ruderman notes this double language in Rashi. I lived with Lavan, but I didn't learn from his ways. It is possible for a person to keep the entire Torah, to fulfill every mitzvah meticulously, and still emulate the lifestyle of Lavan. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Does more observant necessarily mean more religious? Does our greater observance bring us closer to Hashem? Or does a fascination with American materialism drive us further away? This is what Yaakov was saying. I've kept all 613 mitzvahs. I've been perfectly observant. I've also remained perfectly religious. Wherever I did not learn from his evil ways, I kept my values intact. What I am, the way I live, the way I act, the way I think, the goals which I aspire, all these are informed by my connection to Hashem and his Torah. They're not influenced by Lavan's evil ways. And this is a challenge that we have. That's what we begin with this Noam Elimelech. We are so taken by the outer world. We're so taken by aesthetics. We're so taken by this that, you know, sometimes our Yiddishkeit is compromised or it's influenced. Are we able to say, Im Lavan Garti, I live with Lavan, but below Lamatti me myself, I didn't learn from his ways. I have clarity, such clear clarity, of what is Emes and what is Sheker. What is the world of Torah and what is not? What's the world of falsehood? Chaos versus symmetry. And one of the ways to be successful in living this life is where Asvei Zatzal says in 28. He says, Kol Adam Mechapes Osher, every person is looking for happiness. How do you get it? What is happiness? So David HaMelech begins his sefer, Ashrei Aish, fortunate is the person. So we would think that what we'll then have is the list of things that make a person fortunate. But what does David HaMelech say? He doesn't go in the way of the wicked, and he doesn't follow the way of the sinners, and in the place of the scoffers he doesn't sit. You know what David HaMelech is teaching us? You can so easily lose that clarity of order and chaos by the people you're around and get swept up into a world that you've lost all clarity. Zehu Eifo in the asterisk, second asterisk in 18, in 28 rather, Hatanai Harishon LaSig Osher. You know what the first precondition is, prerequisite to have a life of Osher, of happiness, of joy, of fulfillment? Not take me, Kol Tzviva Ra'ah. Separate yourself from the negative influences. Lidog Shaloti Elusivash Shumash Bashli. Our society influences us so greatly. Be able to focus on what's correct. When you live in a society where everything is about what people wear, what people think about you, and the hedgesh, the emphasis is on the outer, and the inner gets lost, you have to then wonder, why do people feel such hypocrisy and they don't feel so connected? And there's so much challenge in being able to raise Torah true Jews. We have to be able to live in a world where the panemius, where the priorities are on the inner world, on the Yaakov world, and not necessarily in the here and now. On being able to be surrounded by people who have the values that we value as important values. If that, my friends, is the idea that Yaakov even is talking to himself. And he says, I came shalom begufi, I'm whole physically. I went through a lot of physical suffering, but I know it was my best good to grow. I went through a difficult time living in Lavan's house, but I came out unscathed and I came out in order. I have an order to my life. I have a shor and a chamor. I have the good and I have the evil. I don't have gemalim. I don't have that mixture. I have clarity on the good versus the evil. And he also came out shalom b'mamono in his benotam l'chaveiro. He says, again bringing the Meshech Chachma, why were these the items that mention again not the Gemal? He says, all of these things have the ability to inject in them Kedusha. You have the Kedusha, the Bechora, you have the holiness of the firstborn of the Shor and the Tzon, bringing it to God, the Chamor, you have the Peter Pijon Chamor. All of these things have inherent Kedusha in their firstborn. And in Eved and a Shivcha, which is mentioned later in the Pasuk, we know that if a Jew acquires a non-Jew slave, they take on a certain status, an Eved Kenani, of keeping Torah mitzvos, which brings the Lekach HaLivud, then takes it one step further in the Sfas in 30, where he says that if a slave can eat Shruma, and the animal of a Kohen, an animal of a Kohen and a slave of a Kohen can eat truma, which a Yisrael Tamar Chochem can't eat. That we have the ability, he's saying, to inject, to inculcate Kedusha into our mammon, into our physical things. A Goy can't be Mekadesh, another Goy. A Goy can't sanctify another non-Jew or a Jew. A Jew has the ability of Kedusha. He says, I'm shalim b'mamone. He gives the example, shur, chamor, son, evet, shivcha, these are all things that you can create Kedusha within them. And that's what he means in 31. Veshochala giladoni, rav shur, Shlita Dvarim Akashim Kikidim Kimizei Yakir Eitzav Otzav Kedushato. Eitzav could see the power of his Kedusha. The Chidaika Le Yaakov Shayach Avodos Bechor. That's why Yaakov should be the Bechor. And you see this later when Yaakov Avinu comes back for his jugs, and he why? Because even his jugs have within them Kedusha Bechol Meltecha, with the entirety of his being. He recognizes that everything that he has in order to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mindset of a Yaakov Avinu. If that's level number one, that Yaakov Avinu is talking to himself, really reflection, saying, I've come out whole physically through the challenges. I've come out with my Torah. I've come out with my money. I've come out that everything that I have is going to be invested with Kedusha, and I appreciate it. That is Yaakov Avinu talking to himself. That's the level Ben Adam La'atzma. Then we can take a look at the same conversation that Yaakov Avinu is turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he tells them, this is Divrei Yisrael, the Majid to Rebbe Zatzal, and he says, Veshlecha la'gid la'adoni, who is the Adam par excellence? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I tell him, just like by Bikurim, I have come today to give thanks to you, Hashem. And we know that if a person can shechanan oto, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'oshev v'gedula, if Hashem gives a lot of wealth and greatness to a person, you give thanks to him, and you're not kafui tova. But here, the chiddush is, v'hi li shor v'chamor. Yaakov Avinu is saying that even if I just had a shor and a chamor, an evid and a shivcha tzon, one ox, one donkey, not a lot. I still have come, v'shocha la'gid la'doni, I've come that I shouldn't be kafui tov, that I shouldn't be someone who doesn't have appropriate appreciation. And that's the amarti. Amarti milashon, desire, that I've come here, b'cheshech v'tzama li'tein shevech v'adoyel makom baruch hu. So he's turning really to Hashem and saying, Hashem, just for us, one sheep, one ox, singular, I'm grateful, Hashem. It's not only when you have everything going amazing, that's when you have to say thank you to Hashem. The key is to be able to say thank you to Hashem on the small things in life. The Sefer Lebokeh Rina underscores this in 34 in the Kapitel Mizmor LeTodah, the 100th chapter of Tehillim that we say every morning in Psukei DeZimra. which is Mizmor Todah. It's like in place of the Korban Todah, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We thank Hashem for everything He's given us. So he asks the obvious question. He says, "V'yesh la'yem in the arrow, she'im amiras Mizmor zuhu mishum chiyuv Korban Todah. If this Mizmor, this capital, is in place of giving the Korban Todah, im kein lamalot tiknu lomar parshas Korban Todah, im parshas Korbanos." Before Baruch Shamar, we have a whole list of korbanos, right? We bring the korban atamid and the ketoret. We say these korbanos. Why don't we say korban atamid every day? Why is it part of Sukkot Dezimrish? Part of the korbanos. So he says, no. And here's the answer. Korban Todah is for very specific major miracles that happen, right? Like a person gets saved from being sick or taken out of a wilderness or really traumatic situations. Then you have a Korban Todah. And that's why we don't have it in the morning, because not every day do we go through these major events, right? I think our lives would go haywire if we went through those major events. But you know what Mizmor Todah is about? It's about thanking Hashem for the small miracles, which we call nature, for being able to be alive. We're really thanking Hashem for Gufi and Mamoni, for my essence, as the Maharal points out in 35, the fact that I'm alive, the fact that Hashem breathed life into me, for that alone, I need to thank Hashem. Just got an email from a girl this week, who's a very, very long email, whose whole thrust of the email is, I don't know why I'm on this earth. What am I accomplishing? What do I matter? What am I good at? Very, very depressing email. And the obviously needs to be dealt with, but the basic answer is, the moment Hashem has breathed life into you, moda'ani lufanecha, you have value, you have worth. Obviously you have to find it. Obviously you have to be whole with yourself. But that's the basic idea. Mizmor Todah, I'm alive. Hashem has given me so much. I'm able to have clothes. I'm able to have a house. I'm able to have so many things. Thank you, Hashem. So Mizmor Todah is in place of Korban Todah on a much deeper level. It's saying to Hashem, I'm not only thanking you for the major things when I'm, astoundingly wealthy. I'm thanking you for the shur and the chamor. I'm thanking you for the small things in my life, for the ability to, for all of those things. Modim anachdu lach, Mizmor Todah. And that's why it's not just in Modim and Shemoneh Esrei, it's in Psukei Dezimra. Because we know, and he knows this at the end of 35, Psukei Dezimra is literally about the psukim lizmor, to prune. We have to prune away in our hearts and our minds this philosophy of kochi ve'otzem yadi, look how great I am, I'm self-sufficient. We have to be able to get rid of these layers, to break through the darkness and be able to see the light that everything I have is thanks to Hashem. So the first idea on talking to Hashem is to thank Him for the tzon and the bokar, the shor and chamor, the basic things that I have. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm alive. Thank you, Hashem, for my mamon. Thank you, Hashem, for Gufo and for Mamono, for his body and for his wealth. As well as, he's tapping in on the Toroso as well, on the Torah as well. The Ber Yosef of Yosef Salant says, not only is he talking to Esav, he's also talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shilaklape is 36. Esav itakam nalo marshalin kadmuba brachos. By Esav he's saying the brachos as we saw didn't come true. Lam, however, lufi darshatam shor zayof seif vechamor zayisachar bekavanazu hayu ayaponel lekadosh baruch hu leorer olav rachamav shinatzel meyar Esav v'zchutam shal Yosef v'yisachar. So here the Bar Yosef is pointing out based on the Medrash that Vayhi Li, and I have a shor. Shor represents Yosef, the bracha of that Yosef was given. You can see this in source 40. Bechor Sharo Hadarla, he's given the bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu that he resembles a shor. He resembles an ox. And then you have the chamor. It's the bracha of Yaakov Avinu that he's chamor geirah, that he's a bony donkey, that he's able to carry the load. So he's saying, and the tzon is Klal Yisrael, right? So he's saying is Hashem, right? This level we're talking to Hashem. Hashem, if I am not worthy to be saved on my own, I want to be saved by Hili Shor v'chamor in the schus of the shor and the chamor that I have. Who are the shor and the chamor? In the schus of Yosef and Yisachar. What do Yosef and Yisachar have in common? So we know what is, as we begin with the ability for Yaakov Avinu to be successful, the Kol Shel Torah. When the Kol Kol Yaakov, then the Adayim can't be a day Esav. When we're sitting and learning Torah, that Esav does not have a handle on us. The Yosef was a Ben Zkunim. He was the one who learned the most Torah from Yaakov Avinu. And Yisachar, we know, are the Yodei Bina. They were the ones who were the head of the Sanhedrin. So as long as I have a Yosef and a Yisachar, as long as I have the Kol Torah, Hashem and that Zchus, save me. This is Yaakov Avinu turning to Hashem in the Zchus of the Torah, in the Zchus of that Shlemus, he should be saved. I will make mention in Shemin HaTov, Rav Weinberger, source 40, points out that there's another dimension of Yosef and Yisachar, which is equally important, that Yosef was the one that sustained Klal Yisrael and the Egyptians as well in Mitzrayim. He represents Gemilus Chesed, acts of kindness. Yisachar represents learning Torah. That you want to know what the secret is for a Jew to be able to survive in this world, you need to have two ingredients. You need to have Torah and Gemilas Chesed, learning and doing Chesed. These are the qualities that we need to inject within ourselves. And we have to keep that in mind, that Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. Absolute Torah is the primary importance. But even while learning Torah, even if a person is 24/7 learning Torah, they have so many opportunities to do Chesed, right? To be nice to somebody, say hello, to help explain something to someone who doesn't understand, give someone a sefer, whatever it is. And for sure, a person who's not 24/7 in learning Torah has the chiyuv to be koveya itim Torah, spend time learning, and spend time doing chesed. This is the bedrock of what Jews are about. Vahili shor v'chamor, Yaakov Avinu was saying, you want to know what my success is going to be based on? Or Klal Yisrael's success, or Tzon Yisrael's success? It's going to be based on these two shvatim, the shor of Yosef, the gemilus chesed, and the chamor of Yisachar, who's a bony, laden donkey, who's going to have the pressure of learning on them. Yisachar went to learn Torah, so Zvulun supported them. They have the ol of Torah, and their schus, the burden of Torah, and their schus, they are going to be survive. So, my friends, we have Yaakov Avinu reflecting in himself, three levels. He came out strong through the challenges. His Torah is intact, as well as his money is intact. He understands it's all Kedusha to be able to elevate to God. He turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's also in these two realms. He thanks Hashem for what he has, and he appreciates himself and his properties, all a gift from God. As well, he turned to Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying, the schus of the future Torah that these children are going to learn and I'm going to undertake, we should be saved from the hands of the enemy, the hands of Esav. Finally, we get to our final idea here. The Shemi Shmuel Sukachever Rebbe Zatzal himself. And he says in 41, V'ine Yaakov Kishabami Beit Lavan in Kol Hashlemiot. Yaakov Avinu is coming from the house of Lavan with all of this Shalem, which we spoke about. Shalem Begufo, Shalem Mamano, Shalem Taraso. He came with all of this completeness. And he came with Kibamidrash Shor Zemashuach Mechama Chamor Zemashiach Ben David. V'tzon Elo Yisrael. There's a lot of different midrashim on this shore in Chamor. He brings the medrash at the shore, which represents Yosef, is a representation of Mashiach ben Yosef. He's coming with a vision that this meeting is going to be a meeting of Geula, of redemption. And I've come ready. I've come with my shore, Mashiach ben Yosef. I come with my Chamor, Pasuk in Zechariah, that tatet, that Mashiach will come, ani, Rochev al Chamor, a humble person riding on a donkey. Tzon, Klal Yisrael, we're ready for the Geula. And that is the mindset that Yaakov Avinu has in mind. And he sees in them, going continuing in the Shemi Shmuel, that great people are destined to come from Esav. Whether it's a Rabbi Akiva, a Rabbi Meir, the Bnei Nafshel Haman, they're great people that are going to come from him. And he saw the greatness in Esav, and he wanted to raise those sparks and be able to bring the greatness of Esav to its perfection, so that there would be no more strife, and there will be a world of the Geula. And that Yaakov Avinu himself was ready to go to Seir and to, you know, so to speak, live happily ever after. Valu Moshim, you know, to Har Seir, Lishpot and Har Yisav would have happened. And that's why Yaakov Avinu divides up this shlichus, this message, into two levels. Yaakov sent angels ahead of him to Esav, his brother, to land of Seir, to the field of Edom. Why did he send them? Says the Shem Yishmuel, he sent them in order for them, because a malach represents the idea of humility. V'nei 42, the asterisk, malach surato bitol subato b'tachlis l'Hashem Yisparach. A malach, an angel, does the will of Hashem, and he represents the whole aspect of being able to humble himself. He intended that when Esav would see these messengers, he would feel a little bit of humility. He would be able to recognize, you know what? I have place to improve. I have place to grow. And then when Esav would humble himself, then he charged them, saying, thus shall you say, I have sojourned with Lavan. I have acquired oxen and donkey. I have now come with my ox, with my shore, to take away the negative klipos, the Mashiach ben Yosef, to rid all the negativity in the land, and my chamor, to bring Mashiach ben David, to be able to infuse you with Kedusha, with holiness. For Sur Meira, take away the evil, and then Asay Tov, bring in the goodness. And that was the plan that Yaakov Avinu had. But what happened? Ach, double 9 and 43, Bizadon libo lo kibel tashuchim, v'lo sam dato lichnia filu b'ma'at, v'im ken lo muklau tashuchur ashnia. The angel said, came back to Yaakov, and he said, we came to Esav, and he's coming toward you with 400 men. He wasn't ready to have any level of humility. We couldn't even go to the second level. And because of this, that Esav refused to humble himself an iota, we're now still struggling until today to be able to get rid of all of those sparks of negativity of Esav within ourselves, within the world, to be able to then bring the Spirit of God into this world. And this is the job of Mashiach ben Yosef, ultimately, which could have happened right then. We know that Esav is about Gaiva, it's about ego. We have to know that in order to be able to bring Mashiach, we have to be able to submit, we have to be able to humble ourselves a little bit. And when we humble ourselves, we'll be open for Mashiach ben Yosef to come and get rid of all the negativity so that Mashiach ben David can come and inspire us with greatness. You know, I was just teaching in Al Eshur this week, the Gevaldic idea that Balei Musar Rav Wolbe brings down. Bikrov alai mereim, tishmana asnai. When we say in David Hashem, Kibitul Kavzayin, when the evil people come against me and they say negative things, instead of having your defenses up, oh, how could they say this? Tishmana asnai, listen, a little bit of humility. Maybe there's a kortav shalomet, a little bit of truth in what they're saying. Why do we think we're always right, and I always have to be right, and I always, in order to be able to bring Geula for ourselves and for the world closer, it's about the message that Yaakov Avinu is teaching. Vayhi lishor v'chamor. First humble yourself. First realize that you may not always be right. First realize that there are other things in this world. Get rid of those negative tendencies. Tahara, work on yourself. Allow the challenges that happen to us to humble us, to make us greater people, not to be greater Balei Gaiva. And then we're able to then have the ability to open up and receive such goodness. And he notes here as a final idea and final lesson in 44, this is a message for all of us. Esav is going to go through a very challenging, the world, Esav, purification, to rid all that evil, to be able to pull out all that goodness. He says we should not need to go through on a personal level that same painful, excruciating process. Work on it ourselves, that the negativity, the haughtiness be taken out of us. So that when Mashiach comes, all it will be about is just bringing out the goodness that is in us intrinsically to the fore. This is our avodah. If you want to know what is our job, to bring Mashiach closer, it's to be open to hearing other people, to not always be exacting with others, to make room for other people. The more we make room for others, the more we don't act like an Esav who just comes with those 400 men and not ready to hear anything, the more we're blocking ourselves from our own inner redemption, from our own inner process. And therefore, my friends, these animal illusions just teach us the depth of Chumash. How Yaakov Avinu was basically saying, you need to work on yourself in three areas. Are you whole with your Yisurim, with your challenges in your life? That they're there to grow. To be able to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am I able to be grateful for all that Hashem gives me? And I realize that this is part of my Tara, my purification, my humility. Am I whole with my money that I realize I shouldn't be just going after more and more money, but am I able to sanctify that money? Am I able to utilize it for the correct purposes? Do I have my priorities in order? Am I showing them my Torah that I don't live a life of chaos, I live a life of good and bad? When we are able to answer these areas, that we are working on ourselves in these areas, then we too can be Vayavo Yaakov Sholem. We too can be whole. We too can be able to have this level that we are yearning for, and then we will understand more deeply. Vayhi li shor v'chamor. I have the shor and the chamor separated. I appreciate all the singular things that you've given me, Hashem, and I realize that all I go through is for me to become that much greater, to ultimately be zochah to meet the shor, the Mashiach ben Yosef, and the chamor, the ani rochev al chamor, the Mashiach ben David, b'mheira b'yameinu.